119 tonight, and we are going to be covering verses 89 through 96. 89 through 96, Psalm 119. We begin in verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, God, we do praise and thank you tonight for another opportunity to open the bread of life together. And Father, we thank you for this psalm and for the tremendous truths that we find here. And I just pray for these that have come out tonight. I pray, Father, that we might all receive a blessing at your hand. And Father, we pray that your Spirit would guide me tonight. And as we approach your throne, that we might be touched in a mighty way by the hand of God. We thank you for the power of the Word of God, and we just ask, God, that you would bless it in our midst, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, last week we mentioned that we were probably at the bottom or the low point in the psalmist's life as he recorded the last eight verses. And so tonight we find him slowly coming out of the deepest valley that he has crossed. And we live in a very unique generation, I think. It seems as you study history, if you go back and you study history, even the history of the church, you'll find that every generation deals with sin in a different way. Some generations are very blatant in their sin, very open, defiant. Some generations are simply indifferent in their sins. But our generation has become, and I don't really know how to describe it, but it's almost like we are clever in our sin. And what I mean by that is we justify our sins. Whereas many of the generations before us didn't even try to justify it. We do, and we do it deceptionally. Science has its absolutes, and yet it says we can't really have an absolute anymore because knowledge is growing so quickly and science is developing so greatly and technology is moving ahead so rapidly that things change on a day-to-day basis. Our educational system says there really are no absolutes. It doesn't matter anymore if you know phonics when you're studying English. It doesn't matter if you spell correctly. None of these things really have an application anymore. There are no absolutes. Even in the religious circles and in the church, there are no absolutes anymore. We don't build churches based on what people need. We build churches based on what people want. And so what we're going to see tonight, and the thing about Psalm 119, and I've mentioned this many times, is this is the Word of God talking about the Word of God. And we're going to find that the Word of God calls itself an absolute. Not just an absolute, but the absolute. As far as humanity and life is concerned, the book you hold in your hands is an absolute. In verse 89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Now, consider that it took the psalmist to go through the deepest and the most depressing time of his life to come to this conclusion. No doubt he knew these things, but after going through this time of trial, he has come to the conclusion openly in his writing, and looking back at that time, he has come to the conclusion that the one thing that he could count on and the one thing that would sustain him during that trial was the Word of God. And so forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now this presents us with a good thing and a bad thing. The good thing is that with the Word of God settled in heaven, no man can change it. No man can defile it. You will not go into heaven and ever hear anybody there doubt the Word of God. That's one thing that you will not hear in heaven. You will never hear an angel in heaven or any of the redeemed in heaven question God's motives or question the Word of God in any context. Wonder if it's true or not. Because if they doubt whether the Word of God is true or not, they're not in heaven. And those pastors today and those Christians today who say, well, it doesn't really matter whether Jesus was born of a virgin or not. It doesn't really matter whether the blood is the number one component of salvation. What really matters is that we all learn to get along, we love one another, and we come under the umbrella of the love of God. That's not scriptural, it's not biblical, and anybody who teaches that, and those who deceive themselves into believing that they can be a part of the church of God, while they believe such things, are completely and totally deceived and will wind up in hell. Because that is not possible. You cannot deny the Word of God and still be a Christian. It is impossible. And so, the Word of God is settled in heaven, and that's a good thing. Now, what we learn from that is, if it's settled in heaven, we also recognize that it's under attack here. It may be settled in heaven, but it's certainly under attack in the day in which we live. Men deny the Word of God. Men question the Word of God. Men laugh at the Word of God. Even those in the church can't make up their mind what they want to believe about the Word of God, or if they can believe all or any of the Word of God. But down through the ages of eternity, the Word of God will stand. And those who believe and those who have faith in what the Word of God says and in the absolute of the Word of God will go down through eternity with the Word of God. And those who reject it and deny it will be turned into an eternity separated from the Word of God and from the God of the Word. Forever. Not just for now. Not just perhaps we can rely on it next year, next week, but forever. O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The Lord God has established the word of God. And Jesus is the living word of God. And so the word of God is established upon the blood of Jesus Christ and upon the person of God himself. And therefore it is settled in heaven. Now in verse 90 it says, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. The importance of the faithfulness of God. Yes, we are saved by faith. We must place our faith in Jesus Christ. We must place our faith in the Word of God. But it is God's faithfulness who lifts us up every time we fall down, in spite of what we have proclaimed. It is the Word of God, and it is God himself who reaches down, props us up, dusts us off, cleanses us again, establishes us in his name, seals us in his spirit, into the body of Christ. And so it is the faithfulness of God that transgresses our sins, cleanses our sins, and works to bring us into that place of perfection when we will enter into glory. And so we do not appeal to our faithfulness. The Bible does over and over and over again, pleads with us to be faithful, doesn't it? But the bottom line is, it's the faithfulness of God that is the ultimate test of faith. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. I personally take great comfort in the fact that if something were to happen to me today, and I were removed from this earth, that my son and my daughter don't have to worry about a thing because they're in God's hands. Every person on the face of this earth is in God's hands. Those who proclaim and confess their sin are in his hands because they're part of his family. And those who reject him are in his hands and they will be reserved for judgment. But all men are in his hands. This earth is in his hands. We look at the news and we can become very discouraged, and it's easy to do. And we wonder what in the world is going to happen to the people of this earth. It's in God's hands. God is in control. And every generation is in the hands of God. And you know what that means? That means that the same God who walked on the plains of Mamre with Abraham walks with you in the Annapolis Valley today. Isn't that amazing? The same God who visited Daniel in the lion's den. Same God that walks with us during the fires of our lives and during the problems that we face. The same God who stood there with Moses and separated the waters from before him. The same God that opens the waters before us. When death comes for us, he simply opens the waters and allows us to come into his presence. We serve a tremendous God. And he's not just a God that we envision, that's just for our generation. This is the same God who created the heavens and the earth, and the same God who was there for Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and for Moses and David and Daniel and all of those Old Testament characters and Paul and John and all of the apostles of the New Testament. And here he is with us today. And tonight he's sitting in this church. What an amazing God we serve. And so he is to all generations. Thou hast established the earth and it abideth. How did God bring the earth into existence? He spoke it. And so it is the word of God which not only brings life, has established life, but it is also established all of creation. The very floor beneath our feet was created by God. The ground that we walk on, the sky that we look at, everything around us has been created by the hand of God. He has established the earth and it abides. In spite of what man has done to it, it still abides because it's God's. In verse 91 it says, they continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. They continue this day according to thine ordinances. What is they? The word of God and the works of God. Those two things, the word of God and the works of God, abide today. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. One thing about the Word of God is that you don't have to believe it, but your unbelief will not change it. You don't have to agree that there is a God in heaven, but your unbelief will not make him leave. It will not make him abdicate his throne or change what he has established in his Word. I remember a number of years ago, some kids were playing around, and they thought it would be funny if they took a stop sign out. And they removed a stop sign at an intersection out in the country, back road. I know where I lived. We lived right out in the woods in the middle of nowhere. But the kids would always go down in the 9 Mile Woods, which was just below our house, and there was a little brook down there. And they were always pulling up the signs for Gulliver Brook and throwing them in the brook. And the people would come along, and they would pick up the sign. They'd put it back up. The next weekend, they'd rip them up and throw them out again. It was just a childish prank. But these kids pulled up a stop sign, and they threw it in the ditch. Later that night, a young mother and her two children, driving on roads that they were not familiar with, were sideswiped in that intersection, and all three of them were killed. And those kids had no idea what they had done. You see, they removed one word. And it cost three lives. And that's the danger of taking this book and removing one word of it. We are not to change anything in the Word of God. Because when you change one word in the Word of God, You set at risk, literally, every soul that comes in contact with a perverted word that you have established. And so, the word and the works of God are absolute. Verse 92 says, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. You remember I mentioned the fact that they had gone through, or he had gone through, a tremendous time of persecution and trial. And now here he's saying, I would never have made it. I would never have been able to sustain myself. I never would have had anything to look forward to if it hadn't been for the Word of God. I will never. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. And I'm sure that everybody here knows what I'm talking about. When we face a difficult trial, perhaps a loved one who has died, and we stand at that gravesite, and people mean well, they come up to us and they speak to us and they tell us, you know, if there's anything we can do, just let us know. And they weep with us, but inside there is a pain that only God can take away. There's a pain that only Jesus Christ can remove. And there's only one name under heaven that can give us hope at a time like that. And that's the name of Jesus Christ. And so, at this difficult time in his life, he said, I would never have made it if it hadn't been for the Word of God and for the promises that I knew were there for me. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I'm looking forward to the day when I don't have to worry about forgetting something. Because at least five times a day I'm asking Kathy where my glasses are. I can't keep track of my glasses. I lay them down and I lose them all the time. And I ought to know better than to ask her. She can't find her own. That's the way it is. We're constantly losing something. We forget. But when it comes to the Word of God, everything that you have, all the time that you've spent in church, reading, your devotions, all the time that you spend reading the Word of God, the Bible tells us that you will never forget the Word of God. Because when you get into heaven, you're going to know it like the back of your hand. It's going to be imprinted on your heart. And it is the most important thing. I mean, we worry so much about education here, and we try to learn this profession or that profession. We're always looking to better ourselves, and we neglect the one thing that will last for eternity, this book. Every minute that you spend in it, every hour that you spend reading, studying, is an hour that will be to the glory of God and will stay with you for eternity. And so he says, I will never forget thy word, thy precepts. For with them thou hast quickened me. The word quickened means revived or filled me with life. How do you suppose that any of us found out about Jesus in the first place? How did we come to know God through Christ? Somebody took the time to open the Word of God and share it with us. Or we took the time to open the Word of God and read it ourselves. But we cannot come to God without the Lord revealing to us Himself in His Word. And so, with the Word of God, we receive life. And because we have received life through the Word of God, we'll never forget the Word of God. It's always a part of our lives. I am thine. I am thine. I have talked to so many Christians, and I'm sure you have too. And you'd say, boy, it's going to be a great day when we go to glory. It's going to be a great day to go to heaven. Yeah. Are you going? I hope so. You hope so. Have you trusted Christ? Yeah? Well, then there's no hope so. You either have Christ or you don't have Christ. And the Bible says we are to know, we can know that we have the Lord. And if you're stumbling through life and you don't know, something's wrong with the relationship. And so, he doesn't say, I hope that I belong to God. No, he says, I am thine. No question. In spite of what he had just gone through, there's not a doubt in his mind that he belongs to God. I am thine. Then he says, save me. Now, our first thought is, well, is he talking about salvation? No, he's not. Because the word save here means protect me. Protect me. I am thine, protect me. You're my Father. I put my life in your hands. I am thine, protect me. For I have sought thy precepts. I'm always saddened when I meet somebody who says that they are a Christian, but they're not sure they're not sure if they're going to heaven because they're not sure. Their words are, I don't think anybody can be sure. What a way to live. What a horrible burden to carry with you as a child of God, that you're not sure that anybody can be sure that they belong to God. You're not sure that the blood of Christ can save us. We're not sure that the blood of Christ can keep us. But the word of God is very clear. And this man said, I am thine, keep me, protect me, for I have sought thy precepts. There's no question here. He knows exactly who he belongs to and why he belongs there. Because his faith and his trust has been in God. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me. But I will consider thy testimonies. As we read this verse, the wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. What Bible character pops into your mind? Joseph? There's a number of them. Daniel. You remember Daniel when Darius made the decree that no one could worship any other god or bow down before any other god for 30 days other than himself. And Daniel knew that decree. He knew it had been signed. And he went in and he bowed down before God. And he prayed just like he always did. Because his faith was much greater in God than it was in Darius. And God rewarded him for that faith. That took a great deal of faith, knowing what would happen to him under the laws of Babylon or under the laws of the Medes and the Persians. It didn't bother him. Here it says, the wicked have waited for me to destroy me. The counselors who had served with Daniel set him up, basically. They were the ones who had this law implemented, and they did it for one reason and one reason only, because they knew that Daniel would not stop worshiping his God. Now, that's a pretty good testimony to have in the world. I would love to have that for my testimony. No matter what happens to Gary, he'll never stop serving and loving God. But here it says, the wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. My life is centered in the Word and in God's hands. Verse 96 says, I have seen an end of all perfection. But thy commandment is exceeding broad. I have seen an end of all perfection. His final conclusion is this. There is none righteous. No, not one. Including himself. And so, where do you turn? When you discover that you're unrighteous, you have no hope, where do you turn? You turn to the Word of God. Thy commandment is exceeding broad. God's grace is sufficient. And God's mercy is much bigger than our sins. Isn't that wonderful to know? God's mercy is much bigger than our sins. There's no perfection in this life, but there is perfection in the life to come, and it is a gift that has been administered by the living God through the living Word of God. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, God, we do thank You for this tremendous psalm and the wonderful truths that we find in the pages here. And God, I just pray that as Your children, that we would not only come to love the truths that we find here, but that we would apply these truths and we would rely upon these truths in our walk with Christ. I just pray as we prepare now to go to our time of prayer, that, Lord, You would go with each one of us. And what a tremendous privilege it is to come into Your presence in prayer, to cry out to You, to lay our burdens down before You. We praise You and we thank You. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.